You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Right now, we hope you are having a great start to your morning. Thank you so much for joining us, I should say, on the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Are you looking forward to the summer? Who isn't? One of the highlights of the summer, of course, is the Wisconsin State Fair, which our young man Parker has never been to. We will take him this year. We'll introduce him to all things State Fair, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the pig races.
Have you never had a cream puff at the State Fair?
Not. I've had a cream puff.
You got to have a cream puff at the State Fair. You got to wander around and buy all kind of crazy things. But you also want to go and enjoy the music, and we have a chance for you to win tickets, Jamie. We're giving people a chance to get them before you can buy them.
That's right. AJR is going to be at the Wisconsin State Fair. Alex, Jack, and Ryan, three brothers who make up this band, they're going to be at the Bank 5-9 main stage this summer. And you can get your tickets when they go on sale Friday morning at 10 a.m. at wistatefair.com. But as you mentioned, it's your chance to beat the box office. Is this one of their songs that's playing?
I was going
to
say, is this them or stormtroopers invading the studio?
I was starting to think of those little, I should have been playing this when we were doing the alien thing.
Yes, we should have.
Yeah.
But we've got your chance to win tickets. All you have to do is text us the keyword using the Civic Media app. You can download that for free at your Apple Store or your Google Store. Today's keyword to text in before 8 a.m. is summer. S-U-M-M-E-R. Summer is your keyword for today. And again, all you have to do is get that to us before 8 a.m. and you are going to be qualified to see AJR at the Wisconsin State Fair. We've got some texts coming in.
Look at him. Wisconsin Rapids.
He's getting his
name in there now. You're the first one in today.
Very good. So keep texting in again until 8 a.m. using your Civic Media app. Thank you so much. Megan also texting in from some Prairie this morning, and we'll be giving you chances to qualify again tomorrow and Friday as well. So lots
people
of chances
love to win stuff. Text summer. Very nice. All right, we talked a little bit at the beginning of the show about the State of the State address that Governor Evers gave last night. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. But how do you feel about Wisconsin Republicans not putting forward legislation that would implement Governor Evers' agenda? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4642, because, you know, they're going home, allegedly, even though the governor did urge them to stay, and he's going to call a special session again in the spring, he threatened. But they're not going to, they're really just treating him as a lame duck, and it's like, why even put the effort forward, and that's got to be a little maddening. I know it is a little maddening to me.
It is very maddening, and I think here's what people have to remember. This has essentially been the play of the Wisconsin Republicans since Tony Evers was elected. Right before Scott Walker left office after that election, they put forth a bunch of legislation that made it really difficult, or was supposed to make it really difficult, for Tony Evers to do his job as governor of the state. So this isn't the first go-around that he's had with the Republican Party and this will of theirs to not allow him to basically do anything. And so if you missed last night, he actually gave his eighth and final State of the State. He declared it the Year of the Neighbor, highlighting bipartisanship, but also urging lawmakers to act on several of these key priorities before he leaves office. And in fact, he wants them to stick around. Here's what he had to say. Cut two, please, Parker.
We can't afford for lawmakers to lose focus on the future we've been working hard to build together just because it's an election year. So I know the legislature would rather hit the road and take the rest of the year off, but I'm going to ask lawmakers to stick around until our work here is finished.
I appreciate that he called him out. I mean,
I do too. And you know, they're thinking, oh, no. But I would imagine I'm sure the Democratic side of the legislature is like, good, finally, somebody's saying that we need to be here. We don't need 9 months off. There's a lot to do. And it's good that I agree, that the governor called them out. And He called out the entire legislature. He was a little diplomatic. He did not say that the Republican leadership is going to send everybody home.
That's
blah,
what's
blah,
happening.
Blah, which he could have, of course. We all know. But you gotta more flies with honey,
sure.
Jamie.
This is when he still had the Republicans in the palm of his hand during the speech as well, where everything was still bipartisan. And look at all the things we've done together before Evers went a little different partisan, more combative route towards the end of the speech. And we'll talk about that in a moment.
But good. And I don't think they will stick around.
No.
Somehow I doubt that Robin Voss is going to go, you know what, Governor? You're right.
I'm going to cancel those vacation plans.
We'll take 7 months off.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll stick around a little bit, you know.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of consternation with this particular GOP leadership, because this is also Robin Voss, who likes to say, okay, we'll call that special session. We gavel in, and 5 minutes later, we gavel out. See, we called your special session. That does nothing for any of us. And that's what should be the concern, because we don't elect people to show up in Madison for 2 months out of the year and then just forget that there are legislatures, or they're supposed to be making the laws that affect all of us each and every day. We elect them for multiple years so that they can do a job to better the state. And obviously, we've forgotten that.
That's what, no, we didn't forget it.
No,
they forget it. Their job, as far as they see it, is to come in and then stay in office.
Yeah.
So their job is to campaign. And the governor brought that up at some point too, that we're not just here to campaign. But that is the reality of politics today.
Right.
And it's both sides. Everybody wants to stay in power. And so you get in office, you do the bare minimum, and then you campaign.
No.
And you try not to do anything that's going to rock the boat too much. You want to maintain that status quo. You want to be on a couple committees. You want to author a couple of bills. But, you know.
How is that good
now,
for any of us?
Look at the situation we're in. It's not good for any of us. And yet it's the way we've allowed things to go. There's no reason that the Wisconsin legislature goes away for 9 months. You can't give me that reason.
Right.
Because it doesn't exist. And if you're a legislator who says, well, I have to get home to my other businesses, well, listen, friend, you ran for office. This is the gig.
Yeah.
You got to be around. You got to do some things.
See, and then that's where my mind goes, so what's your priority here? Did you run for office just to increase your own profitability and your own face?
Yes.
This is where my mind goes. We want to talk about some of the things that the governor put forth in his agenda, but we've got Dick on the phone right now. So, Dick, you wanted to comment on our congressional leadership in Congress. What do you have to say this morning?
On both, and at the state level. I mean, you remember historically when Truman referred to a do-nothing Congress? These two bodies, the state level here and the federal, would make them look like workaholics. They do nothing. And secondly, at the state level here, they don't even have the Epstein files to shut down over.
True.
Yeah.
There's
no reason. They're just... Yeah. Lazy.
Thank you so much for the call this morning, Dick.
Now, thanks, Dick.
I think that some of the plans that Governor Evers put forth last night are good. He started with affordability and tax relief, proposing $1.3 billion in property tax relief, including $450 million in general school aid and tax credits. I also thought it was interesting that he called out the Republicans who have had such a line with this 400-year veto. Now, here's what I'm going to say, and I am not somebody who's going to defend the veto powers that the governors in this state have. I think they're a little ridiculous, right? Because they can just move things around. However, in this particular case, I think there needs to be more rational conversation, right? And I think there needs to be something done more for homeowners. But this is cut six in what Evers had to say on property tax relief.
I get Republicans want to blame my 400-year veto for property taxes going up. Why? Of course, it's politics, of course. Republicans running under fair maps need someone else to blame for failing to fund our schools at the levels I've asked them to for about two decades of my life. Here's the truth. Funding our schools is a responsibility that the state and local partners share. Local property taxes go up when the state fails to do its part to meet its obligation.
I mean, he's not wrong, right?
No, he's not.
He's not wrong. I think it's fascinating with this GOP leadership that this is pretty much where, as soon as Evers got to about this point in the speech, you could tell that Robin Voss was no longer interested, and the kumbaya, rainbow sunshine, bipartisanship of it all had essentially disappeared. You know, because you see his face right behind the governor as you're watching the address. And this is where Robin Voss was pretty much over anything the governor had to say. Tony Evers went on to say that he proposed eliminating sales tax on everyday items like diapers and over-the-counter medications, which would lower some prices.
Sure.
Not drastically, but enough to help out. He also, this was a big one, called for capping insulin copays at $35 and cracking down on insurance price gouging. That's a big one. That's huge.
That would be huge for people.
Yes. I mean, why would we not want to do these things to help better our economy and our working class families and anybody living in this state?
The answer, just follow the money. It's
true.
It's very simple. There's a lot of big pharmaceutical companies, not only around the country, but here, and there's strong lobbying activity.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep making that money. But if you are on insulin, as my wife is and my best friend is, and for a while he was between jobs, that's some expensive stuff.
It is.
Like a lot of medicine. There's a lot of medications. If you need them, it is really cost prohibitive.
So Let's make it easier for people. I mean, what is the problem? I don't understand why we can't do this. Well, because you're going to be on vacation in Aruba, at least, or the Bahamas. That's what I imagine. He also went on to talk about the workforce, education, and childcare, announcing two new registered apprenticeship pathways. He urged action on school funding and special education reimbursement. He even highlighted the Get Kids Ready program, which is projected to support up to 24,000 children across the state. He went on to talk about the Office of Violence Prevention and making it permanent. That's not a permanent office that we have in this state yet. And he wants to provide $66 million for victim services. He advocated for closing the Green Bay Correctional Institution by 2029. And he even called for that constitutional amendment banning partisan gerrymandering and plans a special session. These are things that we obviously cannot get the GOP on board with, because apparently they still want to gavel out yet this week. This is bonkers to me.
It comes, of course it is. It's insanity. And it's been insanity for a long time, and it just keeps going. And unless it's finally put to rest, this whole map thing and all the gerrymandering, it's going to continue, because if the Republicans have the majority, they're going to stop whatever a Democratic governor is going to do in order to flex their muscle. And they're doing it. And the governor did call once again for a special session.
Yes.
He wants them to come back in the spring and do it. That was where things really got feisty for the Republicans.
And let's be realistic. Gerrymandering is bad for anybody. I don't care who you vote for. It's bad for everybody, and it needs to come to an end, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country. Obviously, the Republicans
Like Magic Mirror
it's
from
lovely.
Room,
it's lovely. The Republicans last night said this is all on Evers. He won't cooperate with them. That was
of
their
course.
Response. 7:19 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Is that Mr. Rogers?
Very. I love this.
It's the year of the neighbor.
It's the year of the neighbor.
Oh,
very nice, Parker. Very nice.
This is Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
722 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. And remember, until 8 o'clock this morning, you have a chance to enter into our little contest. It's a ticket giveaway. Win them before you can buy them for AJR at the Wisconsin State Fair. Those tickets to see AJR go on sale Friday morning at 10 a.m. WiStateFair.com. Today, though, using your Civic Media app, you can text in the word SUMMER, S-U-M-M-E-R, until 8 o'clock for a chance to qualify for a pair of tickets. Very exciting stuff. And it kind of reminds us that the warm weather is coming, yes, even though it's very nice out today.
It is very nice out today. Fake spring. Mm-hmm. We are being duped, but it's getting cold again this weekend. But either way, we had a few nice days, and we can look forward not only to the state fair in the summer. Baseball is on its way.
Yes.
Spring training has started. So things are looking good, unless you are a Democratic candidate from Texas who is trying to appear on a late night talk show.
Yeah.
Then things are dicey. If you haven't heard, and I get very worked up about these kind of censorship topics. So does the fact that CBS is once again kowtowing to the administration worry you at all? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. A little background. You know, Stephen Colbert, there was a big hubbub. His show is coming to an end. The entire every late night franchise on CBS is coming to an end. They said it was because of financial reasons. You could argue it because that show is making money, generates revenue, doing very, very well in the ratings. Either way, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert is ending in May. He says now that CBS has refused to air his interview with Texas lawmaker James Tallarico over fears of FCC retaliation. And that may sound familiar because you might remember Jimmy Kimmel mm-hmm. being taken off the air and then immediately returned to the air.
Right.
You may remember that this whole Late Show with Colbert thing, there were whiffs of that, and CBS's new director of news has drawn a lot of controversy. We'll get to another story about that in a second. But this was strange because there's an ancient rule by the FCC for broadcasters, and it's the fairness doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're supposed to, if we have a candidate on who is running for governor from one party, we're supposed to have all their opponents on. Well, not us, because there is an exemption for radio and television,
mm-hmm.
most especially for late night or any sort of talk show.
Right.
So if Regis and Kathy Lee back in the day had on, I don't know, Bill Clinton just to talk, and even if he was a candidate, they didn't have to have everybody else who was running against him on.
Right.
But that might not be the case because Brendan Carr says he's thinking about taking that exemption away.
Yes, Brendan Carr. Because he wants to say that some of these shows are no longer bona fide news.
They're politicizing entertainment.
Yes.
And used to be the thing. Well, if they're coming on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, we know it's entertainment.
Quit giving us so much material then. Giving us so much to work with that we would have to. But at any rate, President Trump has previously threatened to pull broadcast licenses from networks that criticize him and that he doesn't like or have said negative things about him. This one's fascinating because the CBS denies blocking any of this interview, saying it's only providing legal guidance about the equal time rule. Now, I say that this is fascinating in the way that CBS is denying it, just like ABC did when they ended Kimmel for that very short time because of pressure from Sinclair. That's why mm-hmm. I think this is fascinating. It's another example of the network trying to avoid any sort of conflict. Let's be real. There's a Democrat.
Well, and here's the thing. The networks set a horrible precedent.
Yes.
When they started paying off these, instead of fighting these legal challenges and lawsuits from Trump, they caved because they thought it was easier to pay off than to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they all knew and they put out statements that they knew they could win the lawsuit, but it was just such a distraction and it would take a lot of resources. So they bent the knee. Well, now That is the you've opened the barn door, and now the horse is gone. Yep. Because they can threaten anything, and these networks will go, oh, come on. CBS already paid, ABC already paid. They're gun shy now. They don't want to, God forbid you make a stand and you stand behind your people.
And this particular interview ended up going on YouTube, where FCC rules don't apply, or at least for now, because Brendan Carr.
Yeah. Well, he can't. This is the guy who oversees broadcast, and he's telling Colbert and Kimmel and stuff, if you don't like the rules, go to cable. Well, guess what? You can try to censor them on CBS, but the interview is out, and now millions of people have watched it. Probably more than would have watched it if it just aired.
If you would have just shut up
on the Late Show, yeah. But good. I'm glad. I'm glad more people are seeing it. I'm glad more people are listening.
This administration is always about putting their foot in their mouth and then actually creating more controversy and more eyes on something that would have just died under the rug at some point in time. So they kind of shoot themselves in the foot in that respect multiple times. There's
another defection from CBS, Jamie.
Yes.
Another big name defection.
Anderson Cooper is actually leaving 60 Minutes after nearly two decades as a correspondent for the show. That will end that dual role that he's had with CNN and CBS. Now, he says this decision was because he wants to spend more time with his two young sons while they're growing up. That is legitimate. They are six. They are 4 years old. Every parent wants, you know, the opportunity to do more with their kids. Now, he joined the program in 2006. He became one of the most recognizable journalists very quickly. He actually earned Emmys for reporting on a couple of high-level stories, including on sexual violence in the Congo. And obviously, CBS says, thank you for your contributions. Yeah. I find it impeccable timing that he's stepping down.
And this is not the first defection or controversy that that 60 Minutes has gone through in the last few months under new leadership.
Absolutely
but
not.
What are you going to do?
Well, we're going to keep talking about what we talk about. 729 right now, Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, the Civic Media Network.
We hope you're having a great start to your morning. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Network. If you are listening in Wausau on WXCO or in Richland Center on WRCE or even in Madison on WMDX, we thank you for joining us on Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. You know, there's been a lot of talk about election irregularities, especially when it comes to absentee ballots. And so the USPS, that's the United States Postal Service for the uninitiated, has changed some postmarking rules that could create some complications, not only for voters here in Wisconsin, but for voters around the nation. To my folks is the public investigator reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been covering this story and other stories focused on accountability and local policymaking, and we're glad to have you. Tamaya, thanks for being here. Always a pleasure to talk to you. So first of all, let's get right to the heart of it. Are these new rules going to affect Wisconsin voters in the short term?
Yeah, so in the short term, I would say that it kind of depends on what kind of voting timeline you have laid out for this upcoming election season. With this story, I think the motivation for writing it was that, you know, we know a lot of people can run into barriers when they go vote, whether that be trying to get an absentee ballot and requesting it a little too late so it doesn't come in the mail on time. And in this case, this story focuses on whether or not you need to, you know, make several days in advance to turn in your absentee ballot so that it can arrive to your polling location on time. So this new rule that the United States Postal Service kind of enacted around Christmas time, kind of quietly, was a rule that said that local U.S. Postal Service locations do not have to hand cancel or postmark a piece of mail on the day that someone brings it to a postal location. And so with this rule, yes, you know, if you bring it in on the day of and you ask them, can you please add a postmark to my mail, then you can have that proof that you brought it on an early day before the election. But otherwise, it could take a day or two for them to postmark it at one of their regional processing facilities. So the goal with this story was to inform people again how critical it is to have that timeline laid out so that if your mail is delayed in postmark by a day, then you won't be impacted by this rule. And you can, you know, just be kind of rest assured that you have a vote counted.
So, Tamia, we're coming off of our first of many elections this year. Yesterday was our first primary, and we've heard about some of these mail delays in parts of Wisconsin. So how serious are these, and what is actually causing them? Is it just the postmark issue?
Yeah, so I think for a lot of people, it's not necessarily just the postmark issue. One of the things that we've been writing about at the Journal Sentinel is some of the weather delays that we've been seeing when it comes to mail. We've had a lot of severe snow this year in different areas of the state and across the country. Obviously, we've seen kind of wild, severe weather. And so if you're not always sure that the weather conditions are going to be friendly to your ballot either, it's also kind of critical to have this plan in place. We've also seen a lot of United States Postal Service local postal locations either close or kind of scale down staffing. There have been some locations in Wisconsin where they've had to ramp up staffing in busy periods, whether that be the holidays or around an election cycle. I did speak to some officials from the United States Postal Service who said that when it comes to election mail, they have a very specific process that they follow to ensure that everything arrives on time. But again, you just always want to be, you know, well aware that your ballot A is getting to you on time, and also that you're taking it to the Postal Service in time to get it mailed out and into your polling location.
Tamia, let's go back to something you said at the beginning when the rules changed in December. And now the local post office, you said, doesn't have to hand mark or postmark it right away. Was that not the what changed between prior to December and now?
Yeah, so there is this plan called the Delivering for America plan that the United States Postal Service, I believe, started working with in around 2021. And their goal was to be just a little bit more efficient with how they process mail. And so these regional facilities that exist across the country were supposed to, I guess, ease that process and make the canceling of mail a little bit easier. The United States Postal Service has claimed and kind of said in interviews that postmarking was never supposed to be like a resource for the consumer to use as proof that they turned in something on time or mailed a document that they needed for an application or a legal service in time. But we have seen that, you know, government organizations like the IRS and some states across the U.S. use postmarks to confirm whether or not something was sent within a deadline. And so for us, you know, this process was one to track because we know that people kind of wait till the last minute, especially when it comes to elections, when they're trying to decide who they want to vote for. They might wait till the day before or 2 days before. And it really is critical not only to be engaged with this process early on and to be tracking the politicians that you'd like to vote for or that you have questions about, but also to lay out that timeline so that you can meet this deadline.
Tamia Foulkes joins us right now. She is the public investigator reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Now, you mentioned the fact that there have been some changes to delivery service and some different things the Postal Service is doing, and that includes even adding staff and some Sunday deliveries. And so how unusual is that? And is that helpful in any way, according to what you're finding through your reporting?
It seems like it has been helpful in election seasons to have, you know, more people staffing those locations in person. Again, with absentee voting, though, I think that, you know, a higher number of staff is not always, you know, helpful. It really is, you know, determining whether or not a ballot can make it from another city. Let's say we have a college student voting in another state, but they want to vote in their hometown. You know, there's no guarantee that if you drop off a ballot, you know, the day before your local election in Seattle, that it's going to arrive to Wisconsin on time. So I would say it kind of is, again, it's on the person who is voting to be aware of those deadlines. I think the USPS is doing their best, it seems, to try to inform people about or at least have kind of positions in place so that they can get ballots where they need to be, at least locally. But when we're thinking about someone, you know, voting from a different state, especially college students are always on my mind, I think that becomes more difficult to determine whether or not it's effective.
And Tamara, what's the rule in Wisconsin if I mail it in and it's postmarked prior to election day, but it doesn't get delivered till the following day? I mean, I got it in allegedly on time. Where does it count? Does it not count?
Yeah, in Wisconsin, there are no exceptions for late ballots. So it really is critical to mail your ballot kind of a few days before Election Day, probably, to make sure that it gets where it needs to be on time. There are 14 states in the U.S. that accept ballots that are postmarked by the deadline and come in a little bit late. Wisconsin is not yet one of those places. But for people who live in those states, you know, that's highly important to know. If you, again, I think of college students, if you happen to be lucky enough to be voting in one of those states where they'll accept it if it's postmarked by the day, then you kind of have to run to your post office. You can go up to the desk and ask them to postmark it for you, and then you can kind of rest assured that that will be counted.
And this won't only, I mean, when we talk about who this will affect, we talk a lot about the college students for obvious reasons, but I also think of military. Are you hearing anything from and how this will maybe impact the military vote, especially for people right here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think the military voting rules are slightly different. I'm not as in the loop about that, but there are or there is a little bit more wiggle room from what I understand on those deadlines, and they're communicated pretty actively on those ballots. But again, I think, you know, voting as far in advance as you can is the most important thing to do. The absentee ballot application opens up, I think, at least a month before Election Day. So if you can get it sooner rather than later, you just can kind of be protected from some of those natural delays that occur, whether it be you just forgot to send it in one day or something came up at work and you didn't get a chance to get to the post office before it closed. I think going early is always the best kind of plan of action to prevent any disappointment or problems down the road.
So a good rule of thumb, as soon as you get it, fill it out that day, mail it back.
Yes.
But if I mail it back and I'm wondering, I'm kind of close, but I should have enough time. Can I track it? Is there a way for me to know if they've actually, who's got it and if they got it?
Yeah, so I think certificates of mailing are probably the best way to do that. The United States Postal Service offers a variety of services that you can pay for to either track mail or to ship it expedited, and also to get a certificate of mailing, which can prove that you sent it on a specific day. If you are very nervous about your ballot, you can employ all of those resources. Again, I think earlier is better than later when it comes to just like being sure that your ballot is getting in, but they do have a few services that you can pay for. And you can certainly ask an employee who works there when you arrive, you know, do I need this, or can I get a postmark, or is there a way that I can get a certificate of mailing or track this envelope so that I can make sure it arrives where it needs to be?
We're talking with Tamia Folk. She is the public investigator reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. USPS has changed some rules on how they're processing mail, especially in this conversation, we're talking about absentee ballots. And, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, there has been a lot of consternation about drop boxes, right? And each precinct is allowed to do something a little bit differently based on state laws and regulations. But how widely will this help, according to what you're finding? Will these drop boxes help with some of these absentee ballot issues if they're available in certain areas?
Yeah, in Wisconsin, I know there's been a pretty significant scale back of absentee drop boxes in the last couple of years. I think the best way to ensure your ballot gets where it's supposed to be, if you can, and if you're local, is to take it to your municipal clerk's office. Then they can kind of keep it with all of the other ballots. They're really good about tracking those resources and keeping everything in the same place. But I think, mailing through USPS or taking it straight to your municipal clerk's office is probably the safest way to go when it's turning in a ballot and making sure it's getting counted.
When you were talking to postal officials about this, is there any concern, and they're probably not going to be very forthcoming, any concern about how this is limiting people's access to voting? I mean, it seems to be just another step in making the process a little harder. As you mentioned, you know, you've got to, now you can pay for tracking to make sure, and it's not necessarily going to be postmarked the day you deliver it, and it might go to a regional place instead of the local place. It all seems to be playing into a plan to limit people who are voting.
Yeah, this particular process, I think, doesn't necessarily seem to be limiting whether or not people can vote, but I think it does necessitate a lot of clear intention about how you're going to vote and making a plan early. In Wisconsin, we have 3 regional processing facilities for the United States Postal Service that serve the entire state. One is in St. Paul, Minnesota, one is in Milwaukee, and one is in Green Bay. So if you are someone living in a rural area and you know that your regional processing facility is not necessarily close in driving distance, you know, the USPS workers have to work just as we do. They have to drive just as we do across kind of longer distances for the mail to get there. So I would say asking for that postmark in person when you drop it off, or you know, making that early plan is really the most effective way to ensure that your vote is not being suppressed or that, you know, it doesn't get counted. But as it seems, again, I don't know if when they were creating this plan for making a more efficient postal service, they were thinking about voting top of mind necessarily, but they do have a very clear process for how they deal with election mail. It is kind of marked differently. And so at least the workers can be more intentional about how they transport and move those documents. And usually it is with a lot more efficiency than regular mail.
We have just a few seconds left here, Tamia. Beyond voting, how could this affect this new postmark rule affect things like even tax filings or illegal mail? And again, we just have a few seconds left, so I apologize throwing you a harder one.
Okay. Yeah, I briefly mentioned that the IRS does count postmarked mail as on time if it is marked by the deadline. So I would say, again, getting in early and making sure that you have that postmark before you turn in tax documents is highly critical. And just try to, you know, avoid waiting till the last minute. That's the most important thing always.
I think that's the moral of the story today, Brian.
Don't wait. Yeah.
Don't wait.
Tamia Foulkes is a public investigator reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She covers stories focused on accountability, local policymaking, and today, the USPS.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. We've got a few more minutes left, but we have to remind you that you still have time to text to win. We are giving away tickets before you can buy them. Jamie, who can people go see?
You can go see AJR, Alex, Jack, and Ryan at the Wisconsin State Fair at the Bank 5-9 Main Stage. Tickets go on sale Friday morning, 10 a.m. at wistatefair.com. But if you use your Civic Media app right now, you can download that for free over at your Apple or your Google store. You can register for a pair of tickets, or I should say qualify for a pair of tickets right now. All you have to do is text us the word summer, S-U-M-M-E-R. You have about 7 more minutes to get us that word by texting through the Civic Media app. Again, it is summer, S-U-M-M-E-R. You have until 8 o'clock to text in and qualify to get tickets before you can buy them. That was a long roundabout way of saying it, but I got there.
Just text to win if you to get a chance. We, at the end of the last hour, if you weren't with us, we talked about big drama at the Olympics and the curling controversy. Jamie came to us yesterday with a story about big drama in the Mahjong world.
Mm.
And if you didn't know there was a Mahjong world, well, then you obviously don't know any older women. My mother played Mahjong weekly with a group. I was never there. I know they did a lot of had a lot of treats and played a lot of Mahjong and talked a lot of smack about other people. And so where did you how did this come onto your radar?
This,
and I have so many questions.
This was
it.
A social media thing. I came across it and it was wild. It's actually a series of TikTok videos because apparently there's some seniors down in Florida, some senior women who have a Mahjong date weekly. Well, Barbara has not been playing well with the rest of the women in this Mahjong.
Barbara should be a Canadian curler.
She should be. She should be.
Those are fighting words, Brian.
I just here's what we're gonna do. Parker was good enough to put together some audio, so let's hear from the women themselves. Here we go. Ready, Parker?
Oh yeah, here we go.
Okay, so good, so good.
They said we're done with her. We're not playing with the cheater anymore, and that's why several people have stopped going on Monday nights because of Barbara. So then last night, I guess she did some stuff that was outright.
I mean, really mad. She put her tile down, said she didn't want it, and then it was going on to Diane. And then Barbara said, I want the tile. They said, you can't do that. She took it anyway. So when you mahjong, meaning you won, you have to show all your tiles to prove, kind of like bingo, you know? But she takes her tiles and flips them over so nobody knows really what she had.
Can't verify she won.
Pauline, who's been playing for 20 years, and they said, we're done with her. We're not playing. We're not playing with the cheater anymore. And that's why several people have stopped going on Monday nights because of Barbara.
Barbara needed to go. She's had a lot of complaints at Mahjong and that she can no longer come. She looks like this innocent little lady.
She goes to church.
She goes to church. Her husband's gone.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Wow. You know. Hold on.
He might have done it to himself. You know, it really bothered me because you hate to be that way, but gee whiz. Well, people were quit coming. They wouldn't, instead of saying something, they weren't coming. You know, Barbara needed to go.
Barb come through the line today, and she went over to Diane and she says, I'm sorry I pissed you off. She says, I'm banned now from Mahjong.
Oh, she should have owned up to what she did.
Wow. Jamie, sheesh. First of all, thank you. I have so many questions.
Oh, my God. I do, too, because this also, is like an epic thing that is still happening over on TikTok.
All right. So, who's Barbara?
Well,
we don't know.
We don't know Barbara. We don't know who she is. We've never seen Barbara.
How gangster is this old lady crew?
Right.
Barbara needed to go.
And then
Barbara's
insinuating she killed her husband.
She knocked off her husband? That's crazy.
I don't know. They accuse her of murder. Then they basically put out a contract on Barbara.
Right?
Who is Diane?
Pauline,
the big boss.
I think so. I feel like she's the leader of all of this. Now, did you also notice the very first woman has a little bit of a Wisconsin accent there?
Yeah.
So now I have questions about the ties to Wisconsin with this mahjong ring of older women. This is.
And who are the two dudes that are sitting? I wonder if they're married to them or if they're just old guys, because you hear stories. And there are statistics that bear out a lot of hanky and a lot of panky at some of these senior places in Florida and all over the country. Are these guys just trolling and listening to these women jabber on in hopes of a romantic interlude?
If you watch the video, I believe one of them is just there as part of the conversation. One of them seems to be married to another one, though.
Yeah, there's one guy who's sitting on, and he looks like every old guy you would imagine in Florida.
Yes.
He's got the Panama hat on. He's got the bad beard, a Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned halfway down, and some boat shoes.
I mean...
he's kind of out of the circle.
I understand the competitiveness of the Olympics. There's a lot at stake, right? When we talked about this last hour. I did not realize, though, that this was Mahjong was going to create this kind of epic meltdown among the older population. I am invested to know what happens.
How much is she allegedly cheating?
Right.
If other people are not coming on Monday night, other people are not coming.
I'm invested. I'm every day I check to see if there's a new video that's dropped.
I hope we hear from Barbara.
I do too.
I have to hear from Barbara. I have to get a visual, and I have to hear her voice because I'm not sure. Plus, we've got to do a wellness check because
it sounds like the rest of the women are ready for her. They're coming.
You'll call Barbara. It'll be just like that scene. Barbara will walk into somebody's mobile home. There'll be plastic all over the floor, and she'll just go, oh, no, and then it's lights out, Barbara.
They're coming for Barbara, I'm telling you. 7:59 right now, Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today.
Talk to you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.